UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
You're listening to Kentuckiana's ESPN 680, WHBE Newburgh and 105.7 WHBE FM Eminence Frankfort.
You're locked on the V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
This is the discussion, and I appreciate the text. It says, here's the thing. I know this team. This is what I just try and grant the listener the argument all the time, and it doesn't, you know, I just have to point out where it doesn't really make sense. Here's the thing. I know this team is going to be bad, but that doesn't mean U of L fans have to be okay with it. We'll come back to that. This is Louisville football. It isn't Bama, but it's not Murray State. We don't need to pretend to get excited about a team with a bunch of bums that are slightly less playing like bums for a season and still losing 8+ games. When I played football, that's how they would handle it for me, regardless. I don't know what that means. Nobody's suggesting we should be happy. Hey, they might lose 8 games. Yay. Nobody's suggesting that, but if you know they're not going to be good, if you come into the season and say, boy, you know, the guy, and this is not the guy responsible for the mess. That's the important thing. He just came in. He's trying to clean it up. It's like, you know, it's like getting mad. Somebody comes and trashes your house, and then you bring the cleaning service in, and you're yelling at them because the house is so messy. He's saying, I'm here. I'm trying to clean it up. What are you yelling at me for? That's the same thing. So if you know they're going to be bad, nobody's suggesting that everybody's content with being bad. I'm just suggesting you can rail and scream. There's a part of me that thinks there's a certain element of the fan base that that's a badge of honor. That, no, you don't understand. We're Louisville or we're Kentucky or we're whatever. And so to just scream and yell about anything that goes badly is some sort of an indication that there's a commitment there. It doesn't prove anything other than if you're not looking at the situation realistically. I mean, and the realism is this program, in this particular case, was a mess. This guy didn't produce that mess. He's here to try and clean it up. And to me, the interesting thing, I'm not saying, boy, given my choice, I'd rather have a guy trying to clean up a mess than talking about whether they can win the conference championship and go to the playoff. Of course, everybody would rather have the second thing. But the reality is, this is what he's inherited. And to me, it's interesting to see how he's going to do it. If not, then you just write the whole year off. I mean, if you want to. If your approach is that we don't win 7 or 8 games, then I'm not interested. Well, that's your business. Like what you – watch what you want. Don't watch what you – go watch Pawn Stars. And, you know, that's a fine program. My point is, I'm just telling you why I think it's interesting. This is a guy who is clearly trying to build it brick by brick. That's his mindset. That's his mantra. I think it serves them well right here, and it's going to be interesting to see how he does it. But I also think the reality is he inherited a mess, and there's not a lot of talent. There's not a lot of depth. There is some good frontline talent, but football's a game of depth. He doesn't have much depth. He's got a completely different system, even to the point where he's got to reteach guys how to focus and play hard. That's when you know. I've been in situations where if you came in and you had a rebuild, but the guy ahead of you, at least his team was, you know, they understood what to practice hard. You could build. Evidently, this thing was just, for whatever reason, it went so far south last year. Everything went south. Effort, focus, intensity, all that stuff. If you got to fix all that stuff, it's going to take a while. And so, as I said, I just deal in reality. If somehow he beats that landscape and can make it go really fast, and they wind up being good. But I put them down as a 4-win team, and I think that's pretty optimistic, to be honest with you. But Boy, I'd love to be proven wrong. That'd be great. Last week they're playing for a bowl game. That'd be spectacular. But I'm more interested in seeing how you're going to do this exactly. I've never had to watch. I shouldn't say never. When Ron Cooper left, the mess, it was a mess. Also a terrible mess. And I watched John L. come in and build it. But they were not in the ACC. They were not in a league that was producing national champions. This is a league that's you know, got a number of teams that have won national championships in it. It's a very strong football league with a huge commitment to football, and I'm going to be curious to see how he gets that done. So, you're a fan, and it's entertainment ultimately. Unless you're betting, I guess, then you're making a living at it. But you're a fan. I thought you were doing Larry Vaught here, by the way. You're just going to call whatever the hell you want? Or did he ask you to wait 10 minutes?
No, I was confirming another guest.
All right, let's, because it's 107, and we told him 1 o'clock, so he's probably getting all pissed off. Reminder, by the way, speaking of football, that the draft and FanDuel have an unbelievable opportunity for you. If you like fantasy football, then you really should enter the $3.5 million best ball championship on draft. $3.5 million in real money. This is big, big stuff here. And the cool thing about it is it's a season-long league, but there's no management. You just set your team and forget it. Once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. You don't even have to set your lineup. Your best players get automatically drafted, and you'll get the best score every week guaranteed. There's no salary cap, and it's a snake draft like you do in your local league with your friends. But once you draft it, the team is set, and the computer will automatically put the guys out there to get your team the best combination of players for points, and you may be a millionaire. 16 weeks later, who knows? You could tap into some of that $3.5 million. It's available on the App Store and Google Play or online at draft.com. For a limited time, you can get a free entry into the Best Ball Championship when you make your first deposit, but you have to use my promo code VSHOW. That's right, a free shot at the $1 million just by using the promo code VSHOW when you make that first deposit on Draft. Just search Draft in the App Store, or go to draft.com. Come play for free with the promo code VSHOW. It's a lot of fun. And I like the website in general is a lot of fun. I like to play a lot of the head-to-head games, too. It's a great time. We'll get to, speaking of sports betting, we'll get to that in just a bit as well. But Larry Vaught's going to join us. He's been a frequent guest of ours. And this is a very interesting season, again, for the Kentucky Wildcats, and largely because they come off one of their best seasons in the school's history, a 10-win season, a significant bowl win, and then they lose two very, very good players, one on each side of the football. They've got a quarterback who is proven and yet unproven, and there are people looking at this year, Larry, as a way to say they're either going to get validated that they've taken their ranks among the better teams in the SEC, or they will unfortunately show that last year was just kind of the outlier, if you will, and then they come back to earth a little bit. Where do you weigh in on it?
Well, I think it's kind of interesting because I think you're right that probably the national perspective is that Kentucky's going to crash and burn. I think most UK fans, most fans are always fairly optimistic, think this is going to be the validation year. I think Kentucky's a lot better than it's getting credit for nationally. I don't know that I'm quite like some of my friends who are on the 10-win bandwagon again, but I would tell you, if they don't win at least 7, I would be pretty disappointed, yep. And I think that they will probably win 8 and could have a chance at 9 if things really fall well. I think they're better than a lot of people think, and part of what I'm basing this on is I watched going into all of last season how confident the coaching staff seem to be, and you've certainly been around enough coaches to know that sometimes you can just tell when the coaches think they're going to be pretty good, and most of the time they know. And going into this season, I've just sensed the same feeling among the Kentucky coaches. I mean, it's been really easy for Mark Stoops to kind of downplayed this year and kind of built up a little extra sympathy for himself going into the year, losing those guys, but he's not lowered the bar at all. If anything, he's kind of raised it. And when you talk privately to his assistants, I think they are all, to the man, very, very optimistic. The only question I think any of them really have is about the secondary, and I don't think they worry about a lack of talent. I think they just worry about a lack of experience.
Mark Stoops' reputation is as a defensive guy, and they lost, of course, Allen, who is a spectacular player, but that the defense is really the glue of this team, and he seems to think he has enough talent back
And it is, as great as Allen is, it's still a, you know, that's really a team. If anything, that's probably as much an indication of what you do cohesively as a team as anything. And so he thinks they'll be good again defensively. So for all the talk about Terry Wilson, does it come down to how good that defense is as well, or as much, if not more so, than the quarterback?
To me, I think it does. And I think one reason they're so optimistic on defense, they believe they have 8 legitimate SEC linemen on the defensive side, and that's something that I can't ever remember being the case at Kentucky. I think they feel like their linebacking core is pretty solid and pretty deep and got a decent experience here. I mean, they return two guys that made a lot of plays last year in Case Daniel and Boogie Watson. They've got some other guys to put in there that also played. Now, you go to the secondary, they don't have anybody back, but as they talk about it, if the defensive front is better, maybe your defensive backs don't have to be quite as good. If they can just get to where the point there is adequate, then as the season goes on, get better. But they've got a couple of young guys back there. I think we might be going to watch in a couple of years be talking about them and say, man, when these guys played at freshman, I didn't know they would be quite this good, and I think they could be.
Talking to Larry Vaught, Vaught's Views. You can see his stuff online. And certainly we've talked a little about the guys they lost, and we talked about the defense, and we all talked about how Terry Wilson has got to get better. They make no bones about it. They've pretty much said that, haven't they? And the question I have is in there, you know, sometimes coaches will say that knowing that they have the answer. In other words, they've already seen from him enough where they believe he's better, and so they say that, and then it looks like, see, we asked more of him, and he's really stepped up. That's good for the kid. It's good for the team. Then there's the other way, where they really haven't seen it yet, and they're kind of challenging him to make that progress. Which of those scenarios do you think is more likely?
I think with Mark, it's more likely that he's seen it and believes it before he climbs out on that limb, especially on the offensive side, because as you said, defense is where he's the most comfortable. So when he kind of climbs out on that limb on offense, I tend to think that he has seen it and believes it. I think a lot of it just also comes down to how much freedom do they give Terry, because Mark likes to play it kind of close to the vest on offense, and he could last year with the defense that he had. Is he going to turn it loose and be content if he has to win a game 42-30? Can Mark survive health-wise on the sideline if that's happening? I don't know, but they may have some games, especially early, where that's the case. They need to just give Terry a little bit more freedom and let him run more, throw more, change what he does. And I think it may help do that in the fact that they feel so good about Sawyer Smith, the transfer quarterback from Troy, that if something happens and Terry would be having a bad game or go down with an injury, I think they really, really like Sawyer Smith.
I was going to kind of ask about that. Where does this team, in your mind, not have – well, that's a bad way to ask it. Let me ask it a different way. What areas are they most strong in terms of depth, rather than asking about which ones they're deficient at in depth, that we can kind of deduce that from what you leave out. Which ones do you think they're most deep at in a good way?
Well, I think they're really deep. If we're talking offense, I think at running back and tight end, they're really good at both of those spots, quality and quantity. And the offensive line, I think they've got 5, maybe 6 guys that you know pretty much about and you feel good about. And I think they've got 2 or 3 more that they think are going to be pretty good. So I think their depth there is okay also. I think at receiver, they got depth. But that's about all I want to say about it right now. If you don't know anything more about they've got 8, 10, 11 guys they can play, but I don't know. I mean, they still are looking for somebody that can do something, and other than Lynn, and we keep hearing about this guy can do this and this guy can do that, but I don't know. I guess I'm kind of one that's going to have to kind of see it to believe it still, and that to me is even a bigger question mark than the secondary, because the secondary, you've got a lot of guys that have been waiting for a chance to play, and now they're going to get a chance. Maybe they just played behind 5 guys and went to NFL training camps, and they're all pretty good too. At receiver, you've got a lot of guys back that have yet to show you they can do a lot. So to me, that's a bigger worry than the secondary, because you're wondering, can these receivers really make a jump from last year to this year, or are they who they are?
Larry Vaught, Vaught's Views, vaughtsviews.com is where you can find his stuff. We're talking football, but when you're talking here in Kentucky and at University of Kentucky, you're never far removed from some questions about basketball. The announcement of going to Las Vegas for two games. I mean, this is part of Cal's modus operandi right now, is to play meaningful games away from Lexington, and frankly, not on the other guy's campus either. And on the one hand, yay! It's I always equate it to like preseason bowl games for basketball. You know, you go to a place and you see a game, and it doesn't ultimately mean anything for the national championship, like the in you know, except for the three playoff games in college football. All the other bowl games don't contribute to that, but they're marquee games. It's a great trip. Fans like it. But you also wonder about taking away from playing in your arena and the people paying big bucks to get games at home, and like all the meaningful games seemingly are away from Lexington. Are people excited about this, mad about this, or a mixture of both?
I think probably a mixture of both. I think if you have season tickets, you're kind of, or a lot of people are upset about it and feel like they don't have enough marquee games at home. I think if you're just kind of the fan that doesn't have tickets and you're watching it on TV, it doesn't make that much difference to you. In fact, some of them, you know, might like making the trips because there's worse places to go than Las Vegas at Christmas. But I think that's a pretty fine line that you walk, but I think that's kind of the line that most of the big schools do now, that they just don't want to do home and homes with a lot of teams, and they can go on to play these games and use them for their recruiting advantage. Also use them to just kind of as a perk for the guys that are on the team. And it just seems like that's how they like to do it. As long as John Calipari's at Kentucky, that's the way it's going to be. So you might as well get over it and decide you're going to like it. It's like if you don't like him recruiting one and done, then you might as well just start rooting for somebody else, because he's always going to recruit players that he hopes are one and done because they're that good. And to me, I don't know how you feel, but I've never quite understood, even if I was a fan of a team, why I wouldn't want to recruit my coach to recruit a guy that was so good for 1 year that he could go to the NBA versus having a guy that takes him 3 years to get to where he's good enough to go. I mean, I like having those guys that are so good they have options. It's like I like having a coach that's so good he has options if he can go somewhere else. I don't want a coach that nobody wants, and I don't want players that nobody wants.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, people just anytime something changes, there's going to be people who bitch and moan. That's, I mean, you could take seriously. I mean, it could be almost completely by any rational evaluation something that's better than it was before, and there's still going to be an element that say, well, why do we have to do that? You know, it's like I worked at a place once that the entire department was as negative as any place I've ever worked. And so then you would suggest, well, then why don't we change this? And then they'd get mad. They would say like, well, no, well, that's the way we've always done it. And I was like, well, what? Well, then what are you bitching about? I mean, if that's the way. I used to call them pants on the headers. These are people that wear their pants on their heads, and then they piss and moan, you know, it's so awkward. I got my arm straight over my head through the leg holes. I can't see. I can't eat. And you say, well, why don't you put your pants on your legs? That would be better. And then they scream at you. What do you know? You just got here. And like, well, then what are you complaining about? So I think there's some element of that. No matter what goes on, no matter what change it's made. But, you know, in this case, this is a, I don't know, I mean, he's going to play in the Champions Classic. That's that's a game away from the you know, home. Does he have another New York trip? Is he doing that again this year? Do we know? Have they announced that part of the schedule?
That'll be the one that's out in Las Vegas this year.
Oh, so he's changing the New York for the Vegas thing.
Well, they play. The Champions is I don't know where it is.
It's in New York this year, I think.
It is in New York, yeah. Right. And then the Vegas, that's the CBS one. They play in two of them, and they rotate places around, like different. That was the one that was in Indianapolis last year where they played Duke, I guess, was the champion. So they rotate those around to different cities. And then the one in Vegas is the one they've been playing. They've played it in Chicago a couple times, I think, and this year it just happens to be they're playing it in Vegas. So John just decided, well, let's just get a weeknight game out of Vegas, and after finals get over, let's just go spend the whole week in Vegas.
And that's why I say it's just different. I mean, you know, both of us remember you didn't do this. I mean, it was if you played, there were hardly any neutral site games. You might play a team in a place where they didn't normally play their home game. Like, maybe the first one, the most famous one when I was a kid is when UCLA played Houston and they went and played in the Astrodome. Obviously, that's not where Houston used to play, but it was at least in their city. But you've got, you know, they're playing Michigan State in Madison Square Garden. They play the games we just talked about in Vegas, which is who Utah and Ohio State No, that's it. So it's only three. Yeah. So, but
that's three, and like I said, a lot of schools do something similar, and John doesn't want to go. You know, he didn't want to go play in Hawaii or anything like that. You know, he's talking about. You know, he keeps hinting he might go play in London, England. I can't quite figure. How he cannot play in Hawaii, but he can go to London. I don't quite get it. But you're right. I mean, he just has what works for him, and I think whether you're a media person or a fan, the coach gets paid to do what he thinks is going to make his team the best. And because if he doesn't win, you don't care where he's playing games. He's gone. I mean, it doesn't matter what he's done. So the coach has to set it up to what he thinks is best for him. And I've kind of learned that maybe if I don't agree with it, the coach ought to have a reason for what he's doing. And if not, he's going to be gone anyway. So I've kind of learned to quit worrying about all that.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. It looks like it's three games. I've gone through the schedule. He pretty much has three every year that he does that. And you get good competition. It's good for your schedule. You know, if you want to argue it that way, if he doesn't want to play true home and homes with powerful teams, and that's his prerogative, then this is the next best thing. If not, you're going to wind up playing a whole litany of those guarantee games at home that aren't going to do very much for your strength of schedule. So in that regard, right. Probably makes some sense.
And the good thing, the SEC has got better in the last few years, so you do have those games at home. They're just not what a lot of fans still consider marquee names, even though some of those teams are really, really good anymore. So he's probably got a strong enough home schedule when you factor in the strength of the SEC has got better. So I think what he does, he knows what he's doing with a young team. All I know is that by the 1st of March, usually he's got a team that has a chance to be a Final Four contender. And to me, if you're a fan of any team, that's what you want. You want your team to have a chance to make the Final Four when March gets here. And it seems like John does that every year.
We started with football. We'll circle all the way back around and we'll end with football. Last parting shot. I think you wrote about this. If you didn't write about it, you put a link to somebody who did, because I remember reading it on your website. No, you actually wrote it. I'm scrolling through now. The you know, it bothers me when, you know, after games, you'll hear coaches or players say, nobody believed in us. And I'm like, who are they talking about? I mean, every publication I read about this game picked this guy's team to win the championship. Who is he talking about? But, you know, in this case, you're right. You mentioned at the very top that Kentucky football nationally was like, well, that was a very nice year last year, but they still don't quite put them in that elite class. Is this the kind of thing that they are emphasizing? They want to have that reputation that nobody believes in us, nobody respects us, or it's just legitimately that they're pissed off that people see them that way?
Well, here's what I like about it. When they go, here's how I understand it anyway. When they go recruit, they're telling everybody, well, we are a top-level program now. Look at the respect we're getting and all these things. They'll point out that, okay, when they get back in that locker room, you know, they're saying, guys, nobody believes in us. Nobody respects us. So right now they're still kind of using the best of both worlds. I mean, they were an underdog in over half the games they won last year. So I think they really like that, because as Vince Barrett was telling me the other day, how often can you come off a 10-win season and then go in and tell your guys, well, you ought to be angry. Nobody's respecting you all at all. You know, there's no, he said, normally you have to worry about them maybe being overconfident, a little cocky or something like that. And he said, now we just go in and tell them that nobody thinks they can make a bowl game. He said, that's pretty sweet when you can use that as a coach to kind of rally your guys. And I think a lot of the Kentucky players really want to show what they can do this year. And I think those games early with Florida, Mississippi State, and South Carolina certainly give them a chance to do that.
Vaught's Views, check it out online. It's always great to catch up with Larry, and we'll do that throughout the football and basketball season. Larry, thanks. Take care of yourself. Be well.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right. We like talking to that Larry Vaught. We also like giving you this little bit of news. It's out. I'm holding it here. I'm going to smack it against the microphone. Oh, that's definitely in the mixtape. Holding it, and I'm going to smack it against the microphone. Yeah, and that may win the mixtape, I think. what I was holding to end the suspense was ESPN Louisville's 2019 Football Insider Magazine. College Football 2019 arrives this week. ESPN Louisville has compiled all the info you need to know this season with wall-to-wall coverage of area teams. Literally, if you took this magazine apart and took the staples out and laid the pages, it would go from wall to wall. It would cover this whole studio. It would go wall to wall. That's literally wall-to-wall coverage. That's how we can say that without being called out. Literally wall. I may do it during the commercial break just to prove it. There'll be exclusive Capital Letters interviews with players, coaches, power rankings, host predictions, fantasy football tips, trivia, and much, much more. Pick up your free ESPN Louisville. It's free, by the way. That's the operative word here. Free. Free Louisville Insider at the following locations. It'll be available today. It's available now, that would mean, because it was available starting at noon today, at Class Act Federal Credit Union, Area Bear Nose Pizza Restaurants, the Oxmoor Auto Group, Wing Zone. And then Friday, it'll be available at Penn Station East Coast Subs, Buffalo Wild Wings, and the UPS Jobs Employment Center on National Turnpike. So go pick one up. It's worth your trip. It's totally free. It's got a nice color picture on the front of the two coaches for Kentucky and for Louisville. And inside it's filled with, here's to football season, an opening welcoming letter from the gang, from the hierarchy here. Got some nice color pictures there. It's got the NFL schedule week by week, including showing you who's got the byes that week. That's very cool. It's got our 2019 staff predictions. Diener, Sweeney, McLean, Ennis, Maben, Rummage, Blankenbaker, and yours truly. It's got the season schedules for the three NFL teams after that. It's got ESPN Louisville's power rankings for all of the NFL teams. The Chiefs at number one, the Patriots at two, Saints at three, Rams at four, and so on down the line. Jets are 23, Giants are 27, Bengals are 30. I was trying to pick one team that I know is going to kind of be an outlier because I hope that I hit it right and then I can gloat about it. Most of our picks for the various teams are about the same. Diener's got Louisville 3-9. I've got him 4-8. Sweeney's got him 4-8. Locke's got him 3-9. Ennis and Blankenbaker are Ennis and Rummage are the most optimistic, 5-7 and 6-6, and Maben, but everybody's about the same. Kentucky, all of us have them between 6 and 8 wins. Most have them at 7. I have them at 8. Ennis has them at 6. In the NFL, before the luck thing, almost all of us had at least 10 wins. Five of us had them at 10-6. Two of us had them at 11-5. One had them at 12-4. But the Bengals is my outlier. Diener picked them 3-13. Sweeney picked them 3-13. Locke picked them 4-12. Blankenbaker picked them 4-12. The Rummage picked them 3-13. I picked them 8-8. That ain't happening, but maybe.
Wow, that was hopelessly bold. Optimistic.
That was tremendously bold because they are the 30th ranked team, so that's very unlikely. But there's always that one team that has a breakthrough that, and I couldn't do it with anybody else. I mean,
you never want your breakthrough to just get you to 500, but no, duly noted.
I mean, the Titans are all projected. I said 9-7. Drew said 9-7. Andy said 9-7. I guess you could have gone the other way and said the Titans are going to suck and be an outlier, but I don't think that's going to happen. So I took a shot with the Bengals, which won't happen. My Heisman pick was Jalen Hurts. I was the only one who picked him. Almost everybody else picked Tua or Trevor Lawrence. Andy picked Travis Etienne. And then the playoff champions, 1, 2, and I don't think this is good, but we're all picking 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 for Alabama and 4 for Clemson. That's so perfect for college football. Let's see what else we've got in the book. All the local schedules, Louisville, Kentucky, Western Kentucky, Indiana. Mark Blankenbaker wrote a preview of the Louisville Cardinals. Phil Baker wrote an ACC preview. Very nice work out of him. Mark Ennis did a long one-on-one. That was the text of the interview he did with Satterfield. James Strebel did a Kentucky preview. And then the power rankings by Jason Entz. He put together power rankings for the SEC. And Jack Grossman did a green. I love green.
You should. I mean, I'm telling you.
You got. I don't want to wreck it. Andy. Up. Andy's going to have that laugh on his program. So, but Jack Grossman wrote an Indiana preview. Western Kentucky sent us a preview for their program, and then there's Cardinal trivia. Want to play along? I'll give you one question. Here we go. This is for Louisville fans, so don't get mad. In the glass half full category for Louisville. They play UK in Lexington this season. When was the last time the Cards did not win there? Tick, 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 ding. By the time they meet on November 30th this year, it'll be more than 10 years since the Cards lost in Lexington. It was 2009, the last time the Kentucky beat Louisville in Lexington. How about that? So there you go.
Wow.
Tasty. Trivia. John Salzman. Johnny Sales. He loves trivia. Looks like new coach Scott Satterfield will focus more on the running game. Who holds the Cardinals' all-time record for rushing yards in a season? Tick, 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 tick.
Bilal Powell?
Tick, tick, tick. Lamar Jackson rushed for 1,601 yards. In terms of a running back, the single-season record for running backs is Howard Stevens. Way back in 1971, rushed for 1,429 yards.
Well, there you go.
There you go. All right, so there it is. Oh, here we go. There's a nice John put trivia together for Kentucky, too. That's nice. Oh, here's a good one.
Johnny Sales needs to publish the trivia.
He likes trivia. It's an August opener for UK this season. Who was UK's opponent the last time they opened a season in August?
Eastern Kentucky.
No, but it is a directional school. As a hint, they're on UK's schedule again this season in 2014,
Eastern
Cats
Michigan
beat UT Martin 59-14.
It's not a directional school.
UT Martin. Oh, because there's no east-west. All right. Hyphen school, I should
say.
There
we go.
All right. There we go.
Hey, guess what's coming up next?
I don't know. As for how they...
Don't mean to derail you. Just a little bit of breaking news.
Oh,
we'll
no,
get into
froggy
it later
throat
on
too.
In the hour.
Nice, nice the, touch.
It was the whole
me, the
thing.
Ravens have decided to trade thing. Joe Flacco.
They mentioned
to
that an hour ago.
Well, I'm just saying. I have it. It's official, and we're working on getting Jameson Hensley up. So I just wanted to pass that along. That we, you know,
yeah, they've committed to Lamar Jackson, and Joe's going to Denver. Yeah, we've got the boys on the show before us reported that.
Some of my finest work. But it's official.
That's become our catchphrase now. Whenever somebody brings up that. Everybody else already knows. We say, oh, and Joe Flacco got traded.
We're working on getting Jameson Hensley on.
I've been working on getting Jameson Hensley on for almost a year.
This is great. This is the red blue
finally!
Stuff that drives me crazy.
He's coming up next.
God, this guy must have pulled the car over the road and ran to the phone and dope and started texting. Oh, yeah, well, UK hasn't lost in Louisville since 2014, jackass. Okay, thank you. Get back in your car. Make your way back to the vehicle. And go to your destination. It's okay. Calm down. I wanted to just stroke the back of his head. Okay. Very nice. Good boy.
That totally ruined the Jameson Hensley moment, which were totally 3 minutes.
Sorry, but
late
I just because I just.
But
I just,
that visual right? of you following with the
thing, right? I mean, didn't you just visualize the guy's like, he's the back of his car still on the highway? You know, he's just people. I got Texas son of a drops the phone, picks up, going to the seats. Dad, what are you doing? Shut up, Junior. I got to straighten this jackass out. Says I got my anti big blue. Daddy, did you have your big blue antenna up again? Yes, I did. Damn it. Yeah, sure I did. He had already sent one a moment ago. These are the Gotcha listeners, big fans of the Gotcha listeners. He had sent, I was just reading the picks, innocently reading the picks, just innocent reading the picks, and he said, did you say Ennis has Louisville and Kentucky both 6-6? No, you'll be happy. He's got Kentucky a little better, so you can enjoy your lunch, because I was afraid you might throw up all over your child over there at Chuck E. Cheese, because he's got Ennis has Louisville at 5-7, Kentucky at 6-6, okay? Very good. Very nice. Where did you infer that tone from my text? From the fact that the last two texts are obviously with the big blue antenna. Daddy, can we get the tail of the car? No! No! I got to get this text off. And the big hitter producer and the
That is true. Some of these texts could be in just jaunty prankishness. You know, what about this?
No,
that's an interesting fact. They're not always. Brr! However.
No.
I think a lot of times people and then they try to.
I was just making conversation. So I called you the biggest jackass I ever met, and your big-headed kid, one of the most horrible human beings. What did I say? I don't understand. How's that offensive?
That's like
the no offense guy. I love the no offense guy. No offense, but you really smell.
There's some things that you sometimes really don't mean to be as mean as they come out.
Me?
But my favorite line
of mine.
Well, one of my favorite lines in Archer is Lana is saying something, just berating somebody, and then she turns to them and goes, "Some offense." I don't mean to be a total B, but at
offense.
The same time,
yeah, that's a lot more honest. So there you go.
Can I effort Jameson Hensley finally?
Sure.
We're working on getting Jameson Hensley up.
Hell yeah, we are!
You're listening to The V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Am I supposed to talk now? Oh. Okay. Well, then I'll talk. Hi. I did not hear the music run out. I apologize. I was busy reading things. I was reading this, and not only was I reading it, you should know about it. Genesis Diamonds has a deal, and it is a deal. When you want to trade up a diamond that you bought from Genesis Diamonds up for a bigger one in a year or two, they'll give you 100% of what you paid for it, 100%, plus an extra 10% towards the new diamond. So you're getting 110% of your original purchase price to go towards the larger diamond. As an example, you buy a $5,000 diamond now, bring it back in a few years, you find a $7,000 diamond you'd like to then get. Genesis will give you $5,500 for your original diamond, what you paid plus 10% more. So you'd only pay the difference for the new one. In this example, you'd only pay $1,500 more, and you'd end up with that much bigger $7,000 diamond. Now that is a great deal. It's an amazing policy and really shows how Genesis stands behind what they sell. They don't inflate their prices artificially like other stores do. They don't play retail pricing games. They have non-commissioned salespeople, so they're not trying to sell you something more than you can afford just to get a bigger commission. It is a place that's a wonderful place to shop and a safe place to shop for jewelry. So check them out. You will enjoy it. And their whole purpose behind doing it this way is they want you to be a customer for life. So that when you do it that way, when you take care of people, they remember you. And that's what we do. We are always going there for all of our important jewelry purchases. If you're celebrating an anniversary, you're getting married, you're getting engaged, whatever it may be, these are the folks to see at Genesis. Check them out. Genesis Diamonds, official jeweler of the Louisville Cardinals and Kentucky Wildcats, over at Shelbyville Road Plaza next to Trader Joe's. Jameson Hensley joins us here. We're pretty jazzed up in town because we are going to be carrying the Baltimore Ravens games here on our station, obviously, with great interest for Lamar Jackson. And one of the things that Jameson wrote, who writes for ESPN and joins us right now to talk about it, is the fact that, and I think most people could figure this, the logic behind this out, but I get you to elaborate a little on it. The Ravens have rarely carried three quarterbacks, but they will this year. And give us a little of the reasoning behind that logic.
Yeah, and typically they do like to not use that extra roster spot for a third quarterback, because on most teams the third quarterback is just holding the clipboard. But the style the Ravens are going to run, and they've kind of even self-described it as a revolutionary offense, I think it's going to be more college-like than any other NFL offense that we've seen.
Wow.
But it's going to involve Lamar Jackson, you know, holding on to the ball, running the ball, you know, option ball, you know, plays. It's going to increase the chance of him getting hit, getting hurt. So, you know, worst case scenario, Lamar Jackson gets hurt. They put in their backup RG3, you know, Robert Griffin III. And if they didn't carry that third quarterback, Robert Griffin III would have to play a very conservative style of offense, because if he got hurt in the same game, the Ravens would have to go to their emergency guy, who is their punter, and they don't want to have their punter in as quarterback. So I think it makes a lot of sense for them, because of the style of offense they play and where they're going to be asking their quarterbacks to run the ball. They're the one team, especially in the NFL, that needs to carry three quarterbacks, because they need that extra safety net.
It's and the question is, can Robert Griffin still run the football with all the injuries that he's endured and everything? I mean, will they be able to turn him loose a little bit?
He has, and he is not, again, he's not the player that we all saw come into the league in 2012, but he is still an athletic quarterback. You see him out there running around. He is still quick. He's not as quick as Lamar Jackson, but he can get around that football field. You can see him when he's doing the options, running out there. He does have some speed. The one reason that the Ravens really kind of earmarked RG3 as their backup quarterback is because they wouldn't have to change their style of offense if something happened with Lamar Jackson. And there's not a lot of quarterbacks, especially with experience out there, that they can have as a number two quarterback that can do the same things as Lamar Jackson can in games.
Talking to Jameson Hensley, the Ravens, I will give credit. I think you wrote this. Well, maybe this was a while ago. But regardless, the fact of the matter is the Ravens are looked upon, I think, but that's why I wanted to ask you because you're there every day, as a pretty well-run organization. I mean, they seemingly, the decisions they make are seemingly rooted in good logic, and they're perceived as a solid administrative group and all of that. So I'm curious. You know, this is kind of bold, is it not, to basically just turn the offense over to a college-style system? I mean, Lamar, we were just talking about before you came on, Jameson. Lamar is still, well, it still was only a few years ago, but he's the all-time leading rusher for a single-season rusher for Louisville, which is amazing. I mean, he has the quarterback, obviously, and he's still their leading rusher. So when you get to the NFL, the thought always is, well, you can't play that way. If these guys have success with this, knowing the quarterback's going to hurt anyway, do you think other teams would say, well, I'm going to be willing to turn my guy loose?
They do, and they think they can be kind of that trend-setting kind of offense if they're successful, of course. But they feel... and this dates back to when they drafted Lamar Jackson with the last pick in the first round. They moved up into the first, back into the first round to get Lamar Jackson. And the decision was, if they select Lamar Jackson as their quarterback and they were going to build the franchise around him, they were going to have to take this route. They were going to have to kind of think outside the box as far as how they're going to develop an offense around Lamar Jackson, because you're taking him because he is such a unique quarterback with such a unique skill set,
right?
So you can't put him in a conventional NFL offense, and I think that they made that choice when they selected him. And you can see that last year I think when they put Lamar Jackson in, it was around midway in the season, Joe Flacco got injured, and he was forced into that starting role. So they really didn't have a lot of preparation
right
going into that, going, how can we build this offense around him? I think this offseason, they pretty much went from the ground up rebuilding this offense. And it's going to be an exciting offense. Whether it's successful, that's kind of what the Ravens and the rest of the NFL world will be watching.
I get the impression that Harbaugh's pretty jazzed up about it, though. It's kind of rejuvenated him.
He is. And he talks very affectionately about his time with Joe Flacco. And, you know, they won a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco. They went to the playoffs six times with Joe Flacco. But they kind of felt, especially towards the last two or three years, they were going to go as far as they could with Joe because he wasn't the quarterback he was a few years ago. So when you make a change in quarterback, that's going to, other than changing a head coach, that's the most dramatic thing an NFL franchise can do. And it's not only Harbaugh that's kind of energized. You can see around town here in Baltimore, when you go to the games, everyone has the number 8 Lamar Jackson jersey on. They have, and you go to training camp and you see all the kids lined up for Lamar Jackson. And at one point, he went up to the crowd of kids and they kind of charged at him a little bit. The barrier that they were holding the kids kind of tumbled over. So he is becoming a really budding rock star here in Baltimore. And I think that's where a lot of the excitement for this season comes from.
You still got to be able to throw the ball, though. And the question is how well does, I mean, you know, people think he threw the ball better than he was given credit for even back in college, but it's certainly an area, like all quarterbacks, you can get better at once you go to the NFL level. How has his preseason gone in that regard?
Well, and I think he has exceeded expectations. I'm not saying he's not going to complete passes, 70% like a Drew Brees or Tom Brady, but he doesn't have to because those guys can't run like Lamar did. But Lamar, when he has to, he's going to have to throw the football. And what you've seen through the preseason is a quarterback that has made a lot of progression as far as mechanics, as far as reading defenses. And I think the Ravens have always been impressed over the past couple years with Lamar Jackson's vision. They think he sees the field a lot better than even some of the quarterbacks that they've had in that have started for them in the past. So they feel that he can even make bigger strides in that department. But still, last year he completed about 57-58% of his passes. If he can get that completion percentage over 60%, even up to 62%, I think the Ravens would take that in a heartbeat. And I think those are the strides you're seeing. And if he can carry that into the regular season, I think he will maybe surprise some few people who kind of still see him more as a running quarterback and not a throwing one.
What I should know this, but save me the trouble because I'm sure you do. What are the how are they projected? What's their NFL the betting preseason win total projected for the Ravens?
Yeah, this is kind of a touchy subject for the Ravens.
Because, really?
You know, last year they, you know, Lamar Jackson came in, he won 6 or 7 starts, they won the AFC North champion. So they are the defending division champions, but it seems like the preseason buzz has centered around the Cleveland Browns because of all the moves they've made this offseason. And a lot of people still think of, even though the Pittsburgh Steelers lost Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, a lot of people still feel with Ben Roethlisberger, they're going to be in the mix as well. It really does feel like the Ravens are kind of that third team in the AFC North. And, a lot of the players I've talked to are kind of a little irked because, you know what, it was just in January where they went to the playoffs and they were the AFC North champions. But they kind of feel like a lot of people have really forgotten what they did last year, especially when they're making those preseason prognostications for them this year.
Yeah, the Browns won 7 games last year. They're projected at 9. Steelers won 9 games last year. They're projected at 9. Ravens won 10 games last year. They're projected at 8.5.
So that's kind of how they feel. They're like, you know what? You know these athletes. Whenever they're kind of, you know, looked upon as, you know, the underdogs, they kind of rally around that. So, yeah, the Ravens are upset about it a little bit, but you know what? They kind of use that as motivation.
Jameson, good to talk to you, buddy. Thanks so much. Hopefully we'll talk in the future. Be well.
Sounds good. Have a great day.
Thank you. All right. So, again, if you're just joining us and didn't hear the announcement, and we're pretty pleased about it. Not only, of course, are we the home for the Louisville home for the Indianapolis Colts, but now the home for the Baltimore Ravens here, because I think a lot of people are interested to see how Lamar is going to do, and with good reason. I mean, this is a really bold thing. There have been other quarterbacks that teams have kind of they tried to be a little bit pregnant with. You know, they knew the guy was a good runner, and so they tried to incorporate some of that, but they didn't really want to make a commitment to it. Well, these guys look like they're making a commitment to it. They are like, we're going to turn them loose, and or it's much more of a college kind of set, and they're going to – and I don't know. People have said, well, you can't do that at the NFL level. I mean, the defenses are, for whatever reason, they're too big, too fast, whatever, and they just – it won't work. So we'll see. Or more importantly, what they said is you'll get your quarterback hurt. That's the real reason. So we'll see. They're going to carry 3 quarterbacks. And, you know, that means if RG3 plays, and I think that was a great point because what happens for a lot of teams is, you know, the first guy gets hurt and they really can't run the risk of having a second guy get hurt and they get much more conservative with that guy. And if in this case, for this team especially, where their style is going to be to turn guys loose, you know, you got a situation where you're going to be going against everything that you've drilled and prepared for and all that stuff. And so, you know, I think you're looking at it where they can say, nope, we're going to play him. And if he get, you know, we certainly don't want him to get hurt. We don't want Lamar to get hurt. But if we do, we got a third quarterback and we're going to do what we do. So that's why I think it's a fascinating team to follow. It's going to be a very interesting season. No question. The ESPN Louisville Football Insider Magazine is out. And it is available for free.
Yay!
How about the Woodrow Wilson cheerleaders? Are they excited about it, girls? You want to pick up a copy of this magazine? I think they'd be pretty pleased. I think so. And not just girls. I guess there's little boys in this cheering group. There you go. Very nice. And you can get it from Class Act Federal Credit Union, Berno's Pizza, the Oxmoor Auto Group, and Wing Zone. That's today, right now. You could go right now. You could drop whatever you're doing, drive into one of those places and say, may I please have one of those magazines? And they would say, why, sure you can, because it's totally free. If you say, well, I can't get one today, but I'd be curious where I can get one tomorrow, well, they'll be available starting tomorrow at Area Penn Station, East Coast Subs, at Buffalo Wild Wings, and the UPS Jobs Employment Center on National Turnpike. That means, you know what you could do? You could go to get some money at the Class Act Federal Credit Union, pick up some pizza at Berno's, drive your old ratty car to Oxmoor, trade it in, get a new one. That'll perk up an appetite. Celebrate, get some stuff at Wing Zone. And then since you go to bed, get up tomorrow and get some lunch at Penn Station. And then you could go to UPS Jobs Employment Center and get yourself a new job. And then you can go to Buffalo Wild Wings and get dinner.
That, if you do all of that.
That's a great day.
Send us a photo of it. By Jove, we'll get you tickets to something.
Well, that'd be great. Yeah, we'll get him. I mean, no disrespect. I love Greg Galliott, but the guy who does all that, we get him two Bats tickets.
He'll be like, hey, for Masters night, he's going to join us at 2 o'clock. You could see what great promotions we have.
Hey, running out of time to go see the Batropolitans play.
I need to get out there.
Yeah. All right. Top of the hour, we should probably play the little ID thing, and then we should get on with our lives. So we got some more coming up. Greg Galliott, Perrin Johnson's going to join us. We got some point spreads things going on. We got a bunch of other things. And there's actually a lot of content left, so hopefully we'll have a good last hour.
So much content.
So much.
Stick around. The content.
ESPN 680, 105.
Good at producing.
I'm done talking, so do what you need to do.
Fine.
You're listening to Kentuckiana's ESPN 680, WHBE Newburgh and 105.7 WHBE FM Eminence Frankfort.
With UPS, Future You graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future You goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today, delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.